This is a podcast from Minute Media.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Shad, who writes for us here at The Viking Age, as well as Bring Me the News and Zone Coverage. Before we start today's show, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, please, and like this video. And if you already are subscribed, we greatly appreciate you doing that. All right, before we get started into today's topics, I got a little trivia for you, Chris, because something came across my research today about a certain jersey number. We're both, you know, pretty good fans of Randy Moss, and he famously wore the number 84 jersey during his time with the Vikings both times. So here's a little simple trivia question for you. Who was the first Vikings player to wear the number 84 jersey in the regular season after Moss was traded in 2005?
Oh, so after Moss was traded?
After he was traded.
Andre Allison.
Oh, you are correct. You know your 2007
Vikings. I played too much Madden. Like, you know, bottom end of the depth chart. Like, oh, we were 84, huh? Because he was still playing. But
I think I came across a quote today that said, that Allison said where he was like, if Randy Moss was good, they would have retired his number. how'd that work out for you, Mr. Allison? Can you name anyone else who was worn 84 since Moss was traded in 2005?
Bucky Hodges.
Yes, that was preseason though. That was.
Oh, yeah, we're talking regular season games.
I'm just looking for because preseason they got what 90 guys. There's got to be someone who wears.
Well, Irv Smith Jr., Cordero Patterson, Randy Moss himself.
There's one more.
There is one more, huh?
Also a receiver, I'll give you that. Used to be on the Falcons.
Okay,
stumped you?
Yeah.
Michael Jenkins.
Gosh. He was only on the team for like two games, though.
He was there for 2 years, two seasons, 2011 and 2012. He was the Ponder years. He was
then it's amazing I got Andre Allison, but not Michael Jenkins.
Right.
I don't know. Not like Chad, Ponder could hit him. But,
if you want to go preseason two, Chad Beebe, I think, also wore 84 in his rookie season or whatever before he became what did he get? 12?
Yeah.
All right.
He was 12. Yep.
So 84. It should be retired. I think so. But, you know, number of retirements are hard in football because, like I said, you got to have, 90 guys on your roster in the summer at least. All right, so the first topic, according to overthecap.com, the Vikings are currently a little over $10 million in cap space right now. So if they wanted to, they could still add a notable free agent or two before training camp begins at the end of July. It's just announced today, actually, that rookies will report on July 24th. So on Tuesday, USA Today's Tyler Dragon, which sounds so much like a wrestling name, like he's and a cruiserweight. I get that cruiserweight
just kicked down
like,
the forbidden door.
Just Tyler Dragon, you know, fighting for the cruiserweight championship for sure. So USA Today's Tyler Dragon revealed that the Vikings have had multiple conversations with All-Pro defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh this offseason, and the Vikings are also a team to watch to sign Suh. I believe he's also been in contact with the Las Vegas Raiders. He said, I think he said on ESPN, he was on like NFL Live or something, that the Bucks are out of the picture, which is the team that he spent the last, I believe, two or three seasons with. So, you know, if the Vikings were able to, you know, figure out a way to sign Ndamukong Suh, a former All-Pro defensive tackle, former number two overall pick by the Detroit Lions, what do you think his role would be with the Vikings?
I think he'd be a rotational guy, kind of a rotational pass rusher. He's not the player that he once was when he was with Detroit. That's how Vikings fans remember him. He kind of was, I didn't look at his snap totals before the podcast, but I mean, he was kind of a rotational kind of veteran guy in Tampa Bay the last couple of years with the Bucks. So, I mean, he's the kind of guy that the Vikings would need. I mean, right now they have, you know, you got Harrison Phillips, who's kind of more of a run stuffer. Dalvin Tomlinson's the same way. I know Armin Watts had like 7 sacks last year, but, you know, he's probably not a full-time player. And especially when you're lined up in the nickel, which seems like they're going to be playing that more than the 3-4 base. Right. Somebody like Sue in the middle as a disruptor, somebody that can penetrate and get to the quarterback. I mean, if he winds up being Tom Johnson, I think it would be an excellent signing for the right price, because you got to have that guy that comes in and can attack the passer. So I think it would be a good signing. I'm just not real optimistic on the odds he actually comes here, because he sounds a lot more interested in playing for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, yeah, he's a, we mentioned this before we even started, he's a businessman kind of guy. And he's probably very aware that in Nevada, there's no, I believe there's no state income tax. So, he wouldn't have to deal with that where he does in Minnesota. And just looking at the depth behind the defensive tackles for the Vikings, they've got, James Lynch, Ty McGill, TJ Smith, Jalen Twyman, Julian Taylor. So, like, these are not household names. They're not established veterans. You know, these guys are going to all be fighting probably for their jobs when they get to training camp. So they do need depth at defensive tackle. That's, they're taking, you know, they're, the Vikings are at least taking that approach. And it sounds like they've been talking to some candidates, some free agents, which, you know, because the talking to Sue would indicate that he's not the only one they've probably been talking to. But yeah, he's 35 years old. His last 2 years, he was the 74th best defensive tackle by PFF last season and 68th in 2020. And he hasn't been a top 15 defensive tackle since 2017. So yeah, he could be a top reserve. He could be a guy that fills in for guys when they're hurt, helps guys stay fresh during the game. I think it's good to note, though, that like even though his PFF grades or whatever were low, he's coming from a Bucs defense that ranked third against the run last season and first in 2020. The Vikings ranked 26th against the run in 2021. So, you know, he might be a better pass rusher overall, but him just being there and knowing how to stop the run would just help them tremendously probably as well. What do you got?
But hey, now when Adam Zimmer watched the tape, he said everybody was in the right spot. Everybody was doing their thing, doing their right job. It's just, you know, they just got lucky, okay?
Just got
third
lucky.
And 20 draws get every converted time. All the time. All right?
Yeah.
Stop this slander. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if, you know, he's coming in, he's got experience in a very good run defense, you know, with the Bucks, and Harrison Phillips, also a very good run defender. So I think that's what the Vikings are trying to do with their defensive tackles, at least. Just make sure that they're good against the run. They don't need them to be excellent pass rushers. That's what Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter are for. They just need guys to clog up the middle, really. And Ndamukong Suh has a history of that. He has a history of not being very nice to Aaron Rodgers. So Vikings fans would love that. His wife is a native Minnesotan. She was a all-state basketball player, I believe, at Park High School in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. So, and they just had twins, I think. So, you know, maybe the grandparent, it'd be nice to have the grandparents closer by in Minnesota. So we'll see. So should they sign Sue, or should they use the money to sign someone else? If Sue wants to come to the Vikings, should the Vikings sign him, or use, you know, what, this $10 million, or probably they'd probably use around $6 million at most. Should they use it to sign someone else?
I'm looking at a list of current free agents, and I mean, I'm basically going off name recognition here, but I mean, like, if you still want to add a receiver, Julio Jones is available, but I mean, he's probably available for like 2 or 3 games a year at this rate. You have, you know, I'm looking down the list here. Maybe Joe Hayden, JC Tretter, I think would be, that would be the one name I could think of that I'd rather have than
Sue. I think that's the one. That's the one guy. But other than that,
Eddie Goldman's 28. Yeah. So maybe you get a guy that's 5 years younger, although I think he's got some injury issues.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Will Fuller.
It would be exciting. Like, nothing's been exciting this offseason.
Right.
Like, you know, the only time we've gotten like a spike in blood pressure is when we traded down with the Lions and took Lewis Cien. Like, that's been it. Yeah. So for here we are.
And traded up, traded down again in the second round, and then back up. I'd say Za'Darius Smith signing was probably the most exciting. The Vikings.
But some of that luster has worn off for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting to second guess it. Because why did Baltimore just let him walk?
Yeah.
Like, this is me being negative, but I mean, at the same time, it's just like something's not right here. So, and the contract is where, you know, if he doesn't play, you don't pay him. So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have big splash signings with people that we know are going to be available for 16 games or 16, 17, whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but, I mean, why are we even worried about how well they're going to play next year? Because they've been doing all these things like playing laser tag and softball together and top
Ultimate
golf.
Ultimate Frisbee.
So they're dodgeball. Good. They're good. Like, they're fine.
Barbecue.
That all goes right to the football field. They're just going to be lights out because they're just all great friends.
Who do you think is the life of the party at the barbecue? Like, that's what I want to, like, how would that party work out? Yeah, it's probably Za'Darius Smith. You're right. Yeah.
Like, even though he's new, he's very outgoing, seems like that kind of guy, always got a big smile on his face.
Kirk's like the meme in the corner where it's the guy with his little drink saying they don't know, just taking a sip of his water or whatever.
I feel like if Kirk Cousins was an office character, he'd probably be Kevin. Super awkward, always.
But he seems smarter than Kevin. Like, Kevin was kind of.
He does. He does. You're right. Okay.
He'd maybe be Angela.
Yeah, that's a good who's the guy from The Hangover, the dentist,
Ed Helms,
when he came in and replaced Steve Carell as like the head guy or whatever. I think that'd be Kirk Cousins probably.
Yeah,
like, he's the guy in charge, but like, is anyone really gonna follow what he says? Probably not.
Right. Andy Bernard, that's his name. Andy Bernard.
Yeah.
It was escaping me.
Yeah. Yeah. So one episode we'll probably have to do like office characters for the Vikings. I don't know how too familiar
you are time
with that.
We do.
We got 4 weeks, about a month till camp, till they check in to camp. And we gotta wait still a couple of days before anything really happens. All right. Next topic is Mr. Kyle Rudolph, still living in Minnesota. So he has some free time on his hands, and he recently had a discussion with Paul Allen on his radio show on KFAN. And they talked to Mr. Allen, asked Mr. Rudolph if he would be interested in playing again for the Vikings, you know, in the future or even this season. And Kyle Rudolph said, absolutely, he would love to play for the Vikings again. Now, Kyle Rudolph spent last season with the New York Giants. He is currently a free agent. He is 32 years old, and he has caught a total of 2 touchdowns in the last 2 seasons. But Chris, why shouldn't the Vikings bring back Kyle Rudolph?
Because he's washed. Like, I'll go out and say it. Is that a secret? Like, you just said it. He's got 2 touchdowns over the thing, and that was his big calling card, is that he was a red zone threat. Great hands. Awesome. You know, Kirk Cousins said, hey, it's like throwing into a mattress, and then he never threw to him again for whatever reason. But, I mean, most of the time it was throw the ball to Kyle Rudolph, have him fall forward 2 yards and whatever. Personally, I've never been – Kyle Rudolph is one of the greatest tight ends statistically, in Vikings history, and he's a very good all-around tight end when you think about it. But over the last 4 or 5 years, probably since when Irv Smith Jr. got drafted, it's just been weird how he's kind of like, no, I'm not declining. Why would I be declining? It is. I got a lot of game left. I got the sweatshirt. I found it at Target, and I decided.
Oh yeah,
to wear it.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Like the whole thing was just weird. Like they gave him that contract extension, yep. And you know, and this is nothing against Kyle Rudolph, the person. He's an A+ person. We saw that Man of the Year a couple years ago when he built the wing to the Children's Hospital, and that's amazing. Eric Thompson of Vikings territory. Daily Norseman. I'm sorry, I got my websites mixed up. But sorry, I'm plugging all the other Viking sites right now. Don't go to them. Only read our stuff at the Viking Age, even though I write for 3 or 4 different sites. It's okay. He detailed, you know, his daughter had to go there, and you know, he detailed all that, and sounds like a wonderful place. As far as the football player goes, I don't know where he fits on this team. I know the Vikings are trying to win now. He would be an upgrade over Johnny Munt, but I mean,
would he though?
Here's the thing, when he wrote that,
because Munt knows the offense.
Right. When he wrote that goodbye letter, he said goodbye to everybody, equipment managers, wide receivers, you know, trainers, head coaches, assistant coaches, janitors,
backup quarterbacks,
everybody except for Kirk Cousins, who is still there, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if I'm Kyle Rudolph and I don't have offers, somebody's, hey, you want to play for the Vikings? Yeah, I do. I'll take that, even if it's a veteran minimum. But for what it's worth, Darren Wolfson said that he is being courted by Tampa Bay, which
That makes sense.
I'd love to replace Gronk until like week 12 when Gronk comes back.
Yeah, they're going to be competing. You know what the thing is with the Bucks, you know they're competing for a Super Bowl. Like the Vikings, they say they want to be highly competitive or whatever, super competitive. But there's a good chance they could still miss the playoffs, where the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Unless Tom Brady gets hurt, they're in the playoffs. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. And you have Tom Brady throwing to you. And you get to be in Tampa and not Minnesota. So it's not very hard choice to make. I think he said in the interview that he's had, you know, he's heard from multiple teams. I think everybody says that.
I haven't heard from anyone. It's weird. My phone's not even ringing. I want to play football. Nobody's reaching out.
We're still waiting. So XFL,
wait by the phone. Wait for The Rock to call me.
He's a good tight end. You said statistically he's one of the best, but I wouldn't say he's, because I think what Steve Jordan, he's still the first. The best tight end in Vikings history. I don't know if I would put Rudolph as second best. I would even go as far as like Vasante Shenko is, like, just in terms of impact, like, because he was good. He had some really good years, like, with the Vikings, and like Rudolph, like you said, he gets the ball and like his legs are like made of cement, like he can't move anywhere. Although I would say in his first few years, he was a lot more of like a run after the catch guy, but then he got hurt a lot. So I think he kind of grew aware of that and probably was like, hey, I should step out of bounds more, or I should go down a little easier now because I want to keep playing for the whole season because that's going to help me stay in the league longer. Because like, it was like year two or something where like he broke his arm or leg against the Cowboys, making like a diving touchdown attempt or whatever. And you mentioned the Players Tribune letter that he wrote thanking Minnesota and the Vikings specifically. And he addressed in this interview about, you know, a lot is made about, you know, me not including Kirk Cousins in this letter. And here's what he had to say. He said, quote, a lot has been brought up about my letter and not mentioning Kirk in it. But I mentioned, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Bradford, but those are guys that I was extremely, extremely close with. Not sure how this is helping his case so far, but he did say, I have no ill will or hard feelings, you know, towards Kirk. Kirk is a phenomenal quarterback, and he's been unbelievably successful he's knocking on that door, and I know a deep playoff run and certainly a championship would put him right up there with everybody else in the league. Yeah, correct. So he said there's definitely no ill will there between him and I, speaking of Kirk. But here are some other players that Kirk thanked in the letter. He thanked Matt Castle,
he was
Garrett
Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury. And two guys he was teammates with for one season, Justin Jefferson and Steve Hutchinson. So
Justin Jefferson taught him McGrady. It was life-changing.
Like, he can say that there's no... There might not be ill will or whatever, but, like, clearly the people he listed, Bradford, Bridgewater, Matt Castle, had more of an impact or a relationship with Rudolph than Kirk Cousins has. And that's not a problem. You're not going to get along with everybody, you know, in the locker room. There's over 50 guys in the locker room. We know everyone's not going to get along, but don't just sit there and be like, oh, no, we're fine. Do we believe Rudolph's explanation, not including Cousins, in his letter?
Okay, I'm not going to call him a liar, but there's a little bit of damage control going on here, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like we said, maybe the phone's not ringing. Maybe he's trying to campaign a little bit. Just kind of, he's on, you know, PA's podcast, who happens to be friends with
it's the official
a lot of people he doesn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the official radio station of the Vikings, right?
Right. Yeah. Maybe there's a little bit of a favor going on. I don't know. But I don't know. Like, obviously, he's going to say all the right things, especially if he wants to find a team for next year. And again, you know, if you want to roll Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr. on the field, as long as Irv Smith Jr. is option A, which is something the staff did not do while Kyle Rudolph was here.
Right.
I'm fine with it. I just worry how much Rudolph has left as a football player. So I don't think he actually hated Cousins, as some of us have kind of said, because I don't think Kirk's a hateable guy. I don't think, like, you look at the only reason you would hate Kirk is because of his, you know, end of game performance. And let's face the facts here. Kyle Rudolph's a receiver. If he feels that Kirk wasn't throwing him the ball enough, he's going to be a little upset. Like, that's any receiver, right?
He was. So, he was, wasn't he?
Didn't he rip him with the Giants too? Or did he rip the... I think they took some comments about, oh, this is the first time I've had an offensive coach before.
And it was more about Zimmer. And he was... Well, it wasn't directly about Zimmer, but he was saying, like, how it's nice to have an offensive-minded coach. Which, yeah, everyone ran away with, including myself. But, you know, it was off-season. It's an off-season quote. Come on, what do you think is going to happen? And he's in New York, so, you know, they're going to do that. He also talked about, you know, speaking of Zimmer, he was asked about, you know, was he surprised that Zimmer and Spielman were let go? And he kind of took a different route that a lot of people have been taking this off-season, where he kind of, you know, praised what Zimmer and Spielman were able to do the last 8 years. He called them unbelievably successful. I think he said, like, you know, I'd be hard pressed to find a better group of core players around the league during those 8 years. And he just said it's really just about championships, and they didn't win one, and so that's why they're not here. But, you know, do we think that this, the way that Rudolph approached it, because we haven't heard this a lot, like, this point of view of, like, they did a lot of good things, but, you know, things didn't work out in the end. That's why they're gone. It's mostly been like, things were terrible. It's fear based. Like, everything's toxic. Get them out of here. That's been what we've heard most of the time. But do we think that Rudolph's approach is the thought process of maybe the minority, or is it the majority? And it's kind of like a more of a silent majority.
I was talking with a friend this morning about the Vikings a little bit, and I said, there's a very real scenario at the end of the season where we sit there and go, wow, that meanie was a really good coach. Because we're going to get a lot of answers this year. I think that's why this season's kind of exciting. We won't feel the excitement until week one, but this is the same group of players that has won 7 games lost 9 games in back-to-back seasons. So was it the coach or was it the players? And part of me in the back of my mind's a little bit upset that we're wasting a year trying to find this out. Like, I'd rather just burn it to the ground and start all over.
It's everyone's fault. Just get everyone out of here.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're a player, like, you're not going to sit there and say, well, yeah, I didn't do my job and whatever. No. Yeah. I mean, especially a coach like Zimmer, who wasn't a player's coach, you're going to be like, his fault, completely his fault. It was not mine. I didn't draw up the scheme. I didn't hire Clint Kubiak as my offensive coordinator. I didn't hire my son as a co-defensive coordinator. I don't have, you know, this is typical stuff. So I think that Rudolph is right. Because look at the first 4 years of the Zimmer era. They were pretty dang good. They got to an NFC championship game. Then, you know, the second four, there's a certain event that corresponded with that. But, I mean, by the end of the tenure, it had run its course.
For sure.
Like, people are just upset because of the way the last 2 years ended. And, I mean, you had all those stories, like the PowerPoint presentation, people want to point at things like the corners going rogue in Green Bay. Like,
and that was during the first 4 years. Bad
stuff when you're fired, but they'll remember the good stuff while you're here.
That was during the first 4 years, so that wasn't even within the last 2 years. I think, you know, sometimes I fall into this where, like, yeah, Kirk Cousins came there in 2018. Then I also forget sometimes, you know, Zimmer still has a job to do, like, just because, you know, he didn't like that they brought in a quarterback that he didn't want doesn't mean that he shouldn't try and get the most out of that player. And I feel like sometimes looking back, he lost, like, maybe the drive that he had during the first 4 years where, like, this is all his team, where, you know, he's got to realize, like, not everything's going to work out the way that he won. He should have known that, because, like, when Teddy went down and a bunch of his eye almost fell out, like, and he battled through all that stuff and adversity and Bradford going down in 2017, like, they were able to get through all that. And then he literally gets, like, this great team handed to him in 2018, and things just kind of fall apart. And it was, I think I would love to say that it wasn't all Zimmer's fault. And it was like, oh, it's Kirk Cousins. He ruined everything. But, like, Zimmer definitely played a part in that. But I do feel like he brought a lot of good to the Vikings. And he's not, people aren't probably going to realize that until either this team struggles or within a few years and they look back and they're like, oh, yeah, like, Zimmer, he was a good coach.
It's a lot like Dennis Green, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people towards the end were like, well, this guy can't get us over the hump. But I mean, what he was able to do to turn this franchise around and turn it into a contending team and even eventually a Super Bowl contending team, a team that
with those quarterbacks, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, with the quarterbacks that he had, Jeff George, Randall Cunningham, Dante Culpepper at the end. I mean, Warren Moon.
Johnson.
Not that Warren Moon's a bad quarterback, but I mean,
he was at the end of it. It's the end of his career. Yeah,
right.
Brad Johnson.
Blockers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, we don't appreciate stuff probably as much as we should until they're gone. And I think that's probably going to be the case with Zimmer. It's funny. I was watching, there's like a documentary on, I think it's ESPN Plus, called like Dream On, about the 96 U.S. women's basketball team, and how they kind of launched the WNBA through that. I'm not like a WNBA fan, but I've always been interested in that kind of stuff, like the documentaries. And then their coach was like the biggest I can't even say this word.
Disciplinarian.
Yeah. Disciplinarian. Yeah. There you go. Disciplinarian. And like, she was like playing mind games and saying stuff in the press and like working them to like tiring them out. They all wanted to quit like every day. And I'm like, she's a female Mike Zimmer. Like, she's doing like exactly what he would do. And you know what? They went undefeated like the summer before the Olympics, like went 50-0. And I'm like, yeah, that's why he does that stuff. Cause he knows if Zimmer had the viewpoint where like, if I'm your toughest opponent, then everyone else is going to be way easier. And that worked, but at the end, guys just didn't really buy into it, and they had to figure out a different option.
And players talk too. So when you have a player like in Los Angeles with Sean McVay, Yep. And they're talking to Justin Jefferson like, oh, dude, it's awesome. They just give us Veterans Days and stuff. It's pretty amazing. I mean, even Zimmer went to Veterans Days last year to kind of save face a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just was too late by that point. And the game has changed with how players are managed, how players are treated by their organizations. Even like Buffalo with Stephon Diggs. You don't think Stephon Diggs still talks to Adam Thielen every once in a while and says, man, in Buffalo, it is so much different over here. Like, you have no idea. Like, I think those things happen.
I don't know if he talks to Adam Thielen. I don't believe too much into that friendship. I don't know if that was more of a created thing than it really is. That's another side. I think he's more friends with Justin Jefferson than he is with Adam Thielen, actually. Yeah, those two interact on like social media all the time. Actually, all right, Kyle Rudolph, we'll see where he goes. Next topic before we get out of here, another former Viking, Trey Waynes. He did not go on KFAN and talk to Paul Allen. Instead, he went on the very notable Geary and Stein sports show podcast. And he revealed that he's had some interest from teams this offseason. He's been in the league for 7 years. He's a free agent, so he's had some interest from teams, including the Eagles, which is where former Viking Anthony Harris is right now, and Jonathan Gannon is their defensive coordinator, used to be on the Viking staff as well. However, Waynes also said that he's not really exploring anything, and that in his head, he's basically done with football. He said that, you know, he's not really looking to make an official announcement or anything like that, but he's basically retired from the NFL. So Wayne spent the last two seasons with the Bengals, but he was only able to appear in 24% of the team's games during his tenure due to multiple injuries. So it sounds like Trey Waynes, after seven seasons, is retiring from the NFL. Are shorter NFL careers like this one, do you think they're becoming the new normal, or are they still kind of not the norm?
I think players now understand the risk that comes with playing football. So a player like Trey Waynes could probably still be a starter or at least a depth player on a good team, might look at this and go, hey, I got my money. I played 7 years in the NFL.
Bengals fans are happy about that.
Yeah, I'm 30 years old. You know, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's totally understandable. So I think that, you know, Robert Smith was the first one that did it, where he went 7 years. I think his last one was
Barry Sanders too.
Yeah, his last year was like, I think both of them, they went over 1,000 yards in their last year, and they said, yeah, we're good. I mean, Barry Sanders was a different decision because I play for the Lions, man. Like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. And then, like, Robert Smith was just like, nah, I'm going to try and be a doctor or something.
Yeah.
I remember that being totally shocking as a kid.
For sure.
What, he retired?
Was that 2000? I think that was 2001 or
2001. Because they drafted Michael Bennett the following year. MB23. Yeah. I had a Michael Bennett jersey. Hey, I loved Michael Bennett.
One time Pro Bowler. Okay. Don't.
He was really fast and couldn't do anything else.
He was. He was really fast. He was really fast.
Really fast and could get hurt.
He was really fast in Madden.
He was so fast that when he got hit, it was just so much force he got hurt.
I remember using him in Madden a lot.
Oh, yeah.
As a receiver, you just blow by people.
Use him on that stretch play and just go to the outside and run past everybody.
I know.
99 speed, man.
Yeah, I know Aaron Donald just signed like a massive new deal or whatever, but you can look at him because there was a bunch of chatter about him just stepping away, and he's only been in the league for 7 or 8 years, and he was like, it's been my plan the whole time to just play for like 7 or 8 years, get my money, and get out of here, and then just like start the rest of my life. Because we got to like remember, like, when these guys say they're retiring, they're not retiring at like our retiring age, which was like 65. It's probably older now because no one has any money anymore. But these guys are retiring at like 30, 31, 32. Like, they still have like their whole life ahead of them, and they want to be able to enjoy it and be able to walk, be able to hang out with their kids. Like, I see a lot of these guys, like, you know, they have young kids and like, I just want to like be there with my kids, see what happens. Cause it's tough, man. Like being away from your family, like these being in the NFL is like, you get millions of dollars, but these guys make a lot of sacrifices too. And that includes like being away from their family for a good portion of every year. And that weighs on some guys. And I think this is going to be what Waynes is doing is probably going to be more of the normal. I think you look at maybe not for every position, because you could look at kickers and punters and stuff, and even quarterbacks. So you'd be a backup quarterback for a while. But positions that are more physical, like a defensive tackle, a cornerback, offensive line, you know, running back, especially, like I could see Dalvin Cook walking away, like after his contract's up, his current one, wherever he ends up. It's just a tough sport. It's brutal on your body. It is safer than it was, but still guys banging into each other over 300 pounds, 250 pounds. Like it's a tough sport. So I don't blame Waynes at all.
What do you got? I remember in high school, I was working at McDonald's, and the McDonald's I worked at was right next to St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, which is part of Mayo, the worldwide kind of everybody knows what that is. Yeah. So there's this guy that came in. What's that? Yeah, the condiment. We just produce a lot of mayo in Rochester. No, this guy, I'm pretty sure he was getting a checkup at St. Mary's or something. He stopped by McDonald's to get some coffee, and he was wearing, and I don't know why, but he was wearing his green NFL alumni jacket. I didn't even know they gave this out. Maybe it was like an old school thing, but
like a suit jacket? Cane.
Yeah, it was like you know the Blazers they give out for the Hall of Fame? It was that, and it was green, and it said NFL alumni. Okay. So I don't know, but the guy was sitting there and he was ordering his coffee and I saw his blazer. I'm like, oh yeah, that's really cool. And he's like, I regret playing as long as I did. Basically. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something along those lines. So well, you see these players retiring now. Like that's what I think about is that guy that walked into a McDonald's with a cane, barely able to walk.
For sure. And a lot of those guys got paid not even close to what these guys paid now. We're like, you get your second contract. Mm-hmm. You're good. You're probably good. You could walk away after that contract's up. Like Justin Jefferson, if he wanted to, at the end of his next contract, he could be done, which might even be before he's 30. Cause he's about to get so much money. It's going to be stupid. But talking about Waynes to get us out of here. Looking back at the Mike Zimmer era, where do you think Waynes ranks among the Vikings first-round picks from the Mike Zimmer era?
I got to think of the first-round picks to begin with. I would say number one is Justin Jefferson.
Correct.
Even though it's only been 2 years, the trajectory he's on is incredible. Yeah. Two is Anthony Barr.
Yep.
Then it kind of gets murky because Teddy's knee exploded.
Yeah, but he went to the Pro Bowl.
He did. Teddy Bridgewater and Mitchell
Trubisky,
Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yep.
And you don't know what happened in 2015. We'll talk about that on Monday. But so let's think it through here. So you got Teddy Bridgewater as the other 2014. You have Trey Waynes in 2015. 2016 was Laquon Treadwell.
Yep.
2017, you trade your first rounder. 2018 was Mike Hughes.
Yep.
2019 was Garrett Bradbury. Oh my God. Then Jeff Gladney and
Jefferson.
Christian Darrisaw.
Yep.
Yeah, I mentioned Jefferson. That's why I'm not saying him.
Yeah.
But so Waynes, maybe third?
Maybe you put him above Teddy?
Yeah, because Teddy didn't last that long. And plus, he didn't play that great when he was on the field. I love Teddy. I love Teddy the human being because of his personality, leadership, and all that stuff. But, Waynes was a starting corner for 4 or 5 years for the Vikings. I mean, that's what you want out of your draft picks. So it's not Teddy's fault, but I would put Trey Waynes ahead of Teddy. How about you?
I got Waynes at four behind Teddy.
Okay.
I just think Teddy was, it's probably just because of his position. I think he was just able to make a bigger impact. And you could tell right away when he was a rookie, like he didn't have it all, but like as soon as he came in, like it was a different team. Mm-hmm. Where Waynes, I feel like it took him a few years to even like become a starter. Like he struggled those first 2 years. And there was a lot of questions like, could he even be a starter? And then he got in there, he was solid, but there was still a lot of times where he would be getting burned downfield and, or like drawing a flag downfield, or pulling up for an injury downfield. Like, I appreciate what Waynes did for the Vikings, but I was never the biggest Trey Waynes fan. I don't think he lived up to expectations. I just think he was pretty underwhelming. But there weren't really a whole lot of good corners in that draft. Looking back, there was Marcus Peters, and that was probably about it as far as guys coming out of that draft. But I put him at four, but just because you look at the rest of the first round picks, like, I would love to put Darisaw at four or three or whatever, but we still don't know enough about him. He's barely been on the field. I think he's got a good chance to get up that list pretty quickly, like Jefferson. But yeah, the rest of those guys, like Bradbury, I have Bradbury like at number five. That, like, that says so much about the first round picks that the Vikings had in the last 8 years, that Bradbury is five. And I got Mike Hughes and Treadwell as last, of course, because come on, Treadwell. But yeah, that's it. I got him at four. I had the same as you, Jefferson and Barr at the top. And then, yeah, just Teddy at number three for me, because, you know, I just can't shake the Teddy. So I was gonna be there in our heart. That's what we got for today. Chris kind of mentioned it already that we're gonna be looking at the infamous 2015 wild card loss to the Seattle Seahawks, also known as the Blair Walsh game, on Monday as part of our rewatchable series. So come check that out.
The Shank at the Bank.
Yeah. The one that Chris thought went in, actually, before.
I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
I wasn't alone.
We'll talk about that. That'll be, I wouldn't say fun, but it'll be interesting to try and learn some stuff about that. So make sure you follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to like this video and subscribe. But until next time on Monday, Chris and I will talk to you later.